Welcome everyone inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with my man Justin Quinn. The Seas have had an interesting week, to say the least. Our old pal Isaiah Thomas returned to the Garden and finally received the tribute that he deserved in what turned out to be an emotional night and a shit performance from the Celtics against the Nuggets, which they followed up last night with a good performance against the Sixers. That wasn't quite enough, and there's, I think, a few reasons for that. But Justin, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
Better than I was last night after the game ended. You know, there's been a roller coaster of a season all season long, and at first it felt like this game might have been like that, but you know, after looking at what it took for Philadelphia to walk away with one win out of all of the games we played them this season, I'm not that upset about things. I mean, the losses in the last week have not been great. But they haven't been terrible either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the things I'm more concerned about now are things like Baines' ankle, which we can talk about in a second.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the last night and the Denver game included, I mean, the Denver game was, you're playing against one of the better teams in the Western Conference. You know, obviously, it's a home game. You want to win those. It doesn't kill me as much that you have a, you know, not so great performance against them. Last night, like you said, I thought the Celtics played well. Actually, was listening to Danny Ainge this morning on 985, and he was talking about how, you know, they've really been playing well overall for the past few weeks. A couple of losses that, you know, like the Clippers lost. The Clippers shot unbelievably under pressure that night. Like it seems like we're getting to the spots that we want to be in. Sometimes you run into a hot team and, you know, you can't help that. So, but last night, I think it was a little different than that. I think that obviously we had the Marcus Smart dust up in the middle of the game, which had a negative impact, I think. Obviously, if he was in that game later, we got a couple of those game-winning plays towards the end, that things could have been a lot different. But that aside, I think Baines going down was probably the biggest problem that we faced last night. I think it was in the second quarter. Embiid kind of, he was already having his way getting to the free throw line, but like, you know, hitting, running into Baines every time will wear you down a little bit faster than, you know, these other guys that we were throwing at him later. I mean, what did he get to the free throw line? I want to say he got to the free throw line himself more than the entire Celtics team. I'm pretty, yeah. So, and I didn't even look that up, and I knew that just by watching the game. He was unbelievable getting inside and getting fouls. And the free throw disparity, I think, was, what, 43-16 or something like that? You know,
in that neighborhood, absolutely.
Yeah, that's – I mean, as much as that was Embiid obviously getting inside, there's a little, you know, home cook in there when it comes to the referees. I think not that they mean to do it, but I think what happens sometimes when you're playing teams at home, like, you know, the crowd starts getting going, and I think sometimes these refs lose their minds because that's a pretty ridiculous disparity. Even if the Celtics weren't getting in the paint as much as they should have, that's 43-16 makes me want to throw up them right now.
They weren't doing too bad in terms of getting to the paint either, particularly compared to earlier in the season when they were doing bad. But I mean, the home refereeing phenomenon, it's a real thing. It just has to do with the dynamic of the crowd. And
well, that's why
I'm like this.
Go ahead.
This
go ahead.
Isn't complaining about it.
Right.
About
No. It's more part of the game.
It's more acknowledging that, you know, we were down Gordon Hayward the entire game. We were
right.
Down Baines for half the game. We were down Marcus Smart for nearly half the game. You know, Kyrie wasn't shooting so great, particularly later in the game. And all of that put together basically delivered them a win with them playing, I think Embiid was playing like 41 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing our guys the normal amount of minutes. So, I mean, that should tell you not to be so upset. I mean, I didn't think about any of these because I wasn't, you know, paying attention to the minutes during the game. Actually, I was teaching during the game, so I couldn't see most of the game until later. This wasn't such a bad loss. And, you know, two losses together, the way it played out was definitely not that great. But, I mean, you know, now we are basically locked into the four spot, almost certainly at best, and if not the fifth seed, we're not falling any lower than that. So, you know, the path is going to be the same. Right now we're basically just going to be fighting for home court, barring a miracle or total collapse by Philadelphia. And, you know, with Milwaukee also racking up some injuries, now we might not have Baines for the first round, and that might make a team like Indiana, if we end up facing them, a little bit harder to deal with, and it's looking very strongly like we're going to end up facing Indiana. But I'm pretty confident we can get by them without too much difficulty as long as everyone comes to play. But then that would face us off against Milwaukee almost certainly for the second round matchup. And they're dealing with some injuries of themselves in Malcolm Brogdon and Nico Mrotic, both dealing with some stuff that could have them out at least to the first round and possibly into the second, depending on how it pans out for them.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing too is, I mean, who looking at it, just I haven't really made a decision on this yet, but how do you feel Toronto or the Bucks? Because to me, I don't think it makes a huge difference who we play in the second round.
I don't really either. I do think that we would be a little bit better off. And, you know, this could shuffle, too, because Toronto's only a few games behind Milwaukee. And they're resting Giannis right now. They lost a game to the Cavaliers because they rested him. And so, I mean, it's not out of the question that those two could flop spots. And I am very uncomfortable with the idea of facing Toronto, particularly early. I feel like they have, particularly now that they have Fred VanVleet back, they are much better equipped to beat Boston. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I particularly with what's been happening with Milwaukee, I mean, there's no guarantee these guys are going to be anything but very well rested and healthy by the time we actually face them. But, you know, there is a very good chance that they will not be in playoff form because they will have to reinvent exactly how their offense is going to work on the fly. Even in the best case scenario, there's going to be some adjustments that need to be made, and that might be the difference, really, in a series between the two teams at this point. We've done very well facing against Milwaukee, less so against Toronto, and I suspect, as has been pointed out elsewhere, the biggest single postseason adjustment is not necessarily having people play the same kind of minutes that Joel Embiid played last night for, say, Philadelphia, or even, you know, Giannis, but if we have Kawhi playing in every game instead of only one game of back-to-backs and 35, 40 minutes a game instead of 28, 33, that's a very big difference. Mm-hmm. And one I'm not real crazy about seeing how that's going to work in the second round. So,
yeah, and I do think that, you know, with Philly, if it stays as it stands now and we do get through our first-round matchup against Indiana, you know, Philly provides a pretty interesting matchup for Toronto too. And for whatever,
check them out.
Right, and for whatever reason, we've had their number. Last night's game aside, we took the rest of the season series, and obviously we saw what happened last year. So, I mean, how much of that do you win last night do you think takes the monkey off their back? Because I mean, obviously, if we won that game, there'd be a huge monster hanging over them if we were to meet them in the Eastern Conference Finals. But
honestly, I think it's better.
Yeah, because now this is what I was thinking too. Now it brings them back. Well, now they've got a little bit of swagger in their step, right? And, you know, a little overconfidence coming into a game. And even though they should not have won that game last night at all.
Exactly. And I really feel that that's going to be to our advantage if we do end up facing them in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is the soonest we would run into them at this point. You know, they would be very beat up. They don't really have a bench. And by that point of the season, they're going to be needing to play and be 35 minutes a game minimum to get to that far into the postseason. And that's going to wear on him. I mean, you know, he has been considerably more healthy this season, much more healthy than any season he's had before. I mean, arguably two seasons combined. But I mean, that said, he's a big guy and he's a very mobile big guy who has very bad, you know, injury histories for that type of a player profile. So not that I am wishing for an injury there, but it is a very legitimate possibility that at the very least it's going to start wearing him down. And, you know, he's not really that kind of a player. He has not proven that he can put out that kind of an effort that long. And, you know, his conditioning is probably much better than it was last year, particularly considering the fact that he has never broken face this year, at least yet.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. But, you know, there's a lot of games to be played between now and then, and they don't particularly have anyone that can step up should they have an injury to anyone, never mind Embiid. So, I mean, if it was any of their five or six best players, they're basically screwed.
Right. Yeah, no, 1,000%. Speaking of injuries, too, we had Baines last night. We already talked about being down. What do we know right now about the injury? Because as far as I know, he could be out for the rest of the regular season, right?
The description is day to day and less than week to week, but that is very ambiguous. I think unintentionally. We all know that Baines probably would like to be on court as soon as he possibly could. It's unlikely, I think, with a grade 2 sprain that he will be able to play before, at the very earliest, I would say, Sunday. But I do think that it's much more likely that he is going to come back in the first week of April, maybe the second if they want to play it safe. It's going to be interesting, you know, considering that we also have to play Indiana two times in that range. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have him out for the first matchup next week when we play them, just to be safe. And if we can survive them with at least one game, then I think they'll probably pressure him to sit even longer, mm-hmm. just to be as healthy as he possibly can. Because if you come back too soon on anything but the lightest of ankle sprains, it's very easy to re-injure. And even though there's not really that much of a danger to your long-term abilities other than being more prone to ankle turns, it's just, we need him, you know, particularly if we play Indiana in the first round. That's exactly the kind of team we need him most against.
Yeah, I think good scenario is bring him back with a couple games left in the season even, and just get him, you know, build him up, get him testing it out and working on it. You know, even if you don't have him up to full speed, you want to get him to feel confident about moving around on it before the season's over, before you get to the playoffs. But I'll tell you, bullet dodge if you ask me, because I thought that was a knee. It looked like a knee. I was texting with one of my buddies, and I thought for sure that was going to be an MCL, ACL type deal, because it was a non-contact injury, and the way he turned on it and just went down like a sack of potatoes. He wasn't really holding anything, just kind of his leg. So there was no real giveaway, and I thought for sure he was toast. So as bad as the sprained ankle is, I'll take it.
Indeed.
So also last night we had Marcus Smart got a little PO'd and shoved Joel Embiid. This is actually breaking news right now. We just got an email about this right now. So Smart is getting a $50,000 fine for that. Isn't that a little hefty for a unsportsmanlike? I mean, it's a flagrant two, but
normally it would be.
Yeah,
normally it would be.
Because
I mean, there was
talk
that he might get suspended just because he has been let's say less violent with things off the court this year, for which many Celtics fans are thankful. But that is definitely bubbled up a little bit into on-court shenanigans a bit more than usual. Maybe not as intense as some incidents in the past, but you know, he has been a bit of a firebrand this year, and I'm fairly certain he barely dodged a suspension last time, mm-hmm. and he's skating, I think, as close as you possibly can with these flagrants to, you know, get fined without getting suspended. I think that if it had been just a little bit more intense, a little bit scarier, a little chippier, then he would have been suspended, just because, you know, and this is not even necessarily because of him, but just because of, like, Serge Ibaka taking Marquise Chris mm-hmm. by the neck and that kind of thing happening. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that they don't have another, you know, malice in the palace situation. I'm very confident they're not going to, but that is the general fear of the league, and they really just – they can't afford to have that kind of negative press right now, so –
I was absolutely terrified that he was going to hurt himself smashing things in the back. But thankfully, it seems like we've avoided that. We don't have any word that he's broken anything or cut himself in any way. So good on you, Marcus. Did you notice? Now, here's one thing. I see a lot of people going crazy about this. And, you know, as if it was like an overreaction, because it sure seemed like it when he hopped up. And, you know, he did catch a stray elbow. But I did notice from watching the game, I mean, that wasn't the first time that Embiid had done that night. I mean, he'd probably done that three or four times to different Celtics. Maybe he caught Marcus with it a couple times. But the way that he was standing there on these picks, and he's got his elbow, he stands up square up and then juts his elbows out just so he catches you as you're going by. And, I mean, while Marcus certainly didn't handle that the best way, I can see how that would aggravate you. Because if I was playing a pickup game with somebody and they kept doing that, I would certainly have a response as well. I think more effectively, he should have got up and gotten in his face. Because then here you are, you're not being the first, you know, like you're obviously addressing it. And then, like, the shove from behind sucks because you're getting tossed and there's not going to be any repercussions unless Embiid had somehow gotten to him, right?
It was a little weak.
Yeah,
I agree.
I don't think he actually wanted to get to him because I'm pretty sure Marcus would kick his ass if they actually fought. I don't care how big he is. Marcus is about that life. He's crazy. but anyways, let's get on to some better, more happy thoughts, I guess.
Sure.
Our old pal, Isaiah Thomas, King in the Fourth, returned to the Garden. He got a pretty awesome video tribute. They were even teasing it during the day. I think it just goes to show you the respect that, you know, the team has for him. Despite the way that things went down, and obviously he got traded, for Kyrie Irving, and there was a lot of emotion at the time, especially from IT. I'm sure that wasn't an easy thing for Ainge to do. He's spoken on it many times, but you have to put your team in the best situation that you think. The video was pretty awesome. It was cool. They kept the camera on IT too. You could see his reaction. Danny was talking on the radio today about. They were asking him if he was able to talk to, Isaiah. And he said that he texts every so often with him just about random things, not necessarily always basketball related. But he said that Isaiah did give him a little nod, pointed to him when he first got, came out to the court the other night. What'd you think of the tribute?
I thought it was long overdue, first of all.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right. I'm glad he finally actually got to get on the court, even if it was a bit of a meh. I mean,
they gave him some run for somebody who hasn't been playing, and he played like 7 minutes. So they didn't have to do that. Did. That was definitely. And granted, they had the game. I think they were up 10 points while he was on the court. So it's not like they were in any kind
it
of.
It didn't hurt him.
Right. Even though he what did he have? One assist, and that was it. He missed a layup. He bricked a couple of threes. It wasn't the Isaiah that we're used to seeing. We'll just leave it at that. At least the one that we remember. Funny thing, the night before, when he touched down in Boston, he texted, "When I land, where's a good pickup game?" You know, people throwing all kinds of stuff at him, whatever. I guess they practiced at Emerson, the Nuggets. They held a practice there, and he was shooting around after practice, and the Emerson College run was there. And somebody posted a video of Isaiah playing with these kids. And I think I sent you this video, because this was like the most embarrassing of pickup games. Well, maybe the game was better than they said, because that's what the kid on Twitter said. But this kid in a Larry Bird jersey or shirt with, I think he had pants on too, like sweatpants, which is just disturbing when you're running pickup with an NBA player. But, and comes down and throws up like one of those fourth grade, like, you know, like floaters. Floater would be, I think,
ugly.
Well, floater is, I'm being generous here. I don't know what else to call it. He kind of lofted the ball up in the air. I mean, it's kind of if that's the best game that Isaiah could find in Boston on a Sunday night, that's sad, Boston. We got to step that up.
Shame on us, man.
My pickup game with my three buddies is more entertaining than that, and none of us is that good. So, that's crazy. But we're talking about my bad. Ainge, this morning they were trying to bait Ainge into talking about Isaiah, and obviously he can't talk about a player under contract. Ideas that the way he has this love affair with the Celtics. Do you think it's possible that he could? Let's say Kyrie Irving resigns, okay? Because if he doesn't, all bets are off, and who knows what the hell is going to happen, right? But let's say that Kyrie resigns. Is he a good guy to have as a backup point guard for him? I mean, let's say we lose Rozier, would that even work?
In the scenario where we don't have Rozier, but we do have Kyrie on a long-term deal, and he doesn't have a player option in the first couple of years.
Yeah, right.
Then in that scenario, I wouldn't mind giving Isaiah like a 1+1 mm-hmm. just so that way he would have, you know, like a player option so he could get a bigger deal someplace else after showcasing it. It would have to make sense for him. I don't think he'd be doing himself any favors by coming back to the Celtics in terms of his career, in terms of earnings. He, as I've heard many others have pointed out, he could make way more money overseas in Europe and China. He could be a much bigger presence, get much more playing time on, if he does return to the NBA, a much worse team.
Yeah, but why? Yeah, like I still don't understand. Not to cut you off here, but like, why didn't he sign with like an Orlando this year? Now, granted, he didn't get back till towards the end of the season. It boggles my mind why he jumped on a team. Now, Denver was an up and coming team, but you thought for sure they were going to be a playoff team, right? Middle of the pack in the Western Conference, at least they've overachieved on that end. But still. With a point guard in place, Monty Morris, it never made sense to me why that was a destination for him. And I mean,
he figured that Monty Morris was not going to be a major player.
He thought
his first year in the NBA.
Yeah, and thought
that's
perhaps,
not an unreasonable assumption.
Yeah, no, I guess I still I don't know. He could have gotten all the shots he wanted on a bad team. I know Orlando was interested in him. I don't know. I don't know how that – I don't know. I think it was a poor decision, and I think it would be a poor decision for him to come back to the Celtics when he should probably go to a team where he can at least fight for a starting job, because if Kyrie Irving's here, that's not going to happen. Now, if Kyrie leaves, that's a different story, and you know that opens up a whole different can of worms. But I don't know. I don't think – you know what I was thinking the other day too, and we should tweet this out and see what we can get. Would you rather have IT or Rondo as your backup next year if Irving – is your starter.
Rondo.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
it makes more sense.
It does.
Just makes more sense.
Right. And then just because you're looking for a guy to distribute and get the other guys the ball, you know? I mean, instead of, I don't know. Irving and Isaiah's game is too similar for it to make sense to me.
And they're too similarly sized. They need to be played fairly similarly.
Right, and they need a lot of shots.
The personalities.
Right, exactly. And Isaiah walking back in here and being on Irving's team, granted, you know, we're questioning now how good of a, you know, leader Irving is or whatever. I don't think it's a good idea to bring in someone with IT's personality who we know is a good leader at the very least. Whether he's a better player or not, obviously Irving right now looks – a hell of a lot better than he does, but you know, I don't think that's a good mix at all. Whereas I think Rondo at least is later in the stages of his career. While we know he's a good leader and would be a good guy in the court, I think he's willing to take a back seat now. Whereas IT is still looking for that Brinks truck, right? Or at least looking to regain his
a truck
at all. How about a Tacoma full? There's nothing bad I can say about the guy. I mean, you know, he got a raw deal, but. It is what it is. It's a business. It's a sport. It sucks. But I wish him nothing but the best. So the Celtics have lost a couple straight here. Not ideal, but like we said, they're still not playing the worst of basketball. Monday's game aside, bigger problems are obviously the Baines industry. The Baines injury. And then we've got Gordon Hayward still in concussion protocol after what happened in Atlanta. He might be okay for Saturday versus Charlotte, but that's still, we got to keep an eye on that. Morris has not been so good. Tatum also not playing his best basketball right now, but we have some positive. Jaylen Brown is playing out of his mind right now. He's playing awesome. Kyrie has had two of his best games of the season in his past three, and we had a monster game from Rozier last night against Philly in the loss, but Rozier played well, and I think it's huge if Rozier keeps this up. I mean, obviously, I've been saying all year that, you know, it might be time to move on and try something else, and yet here he is, he's playing, you know, looks like Scary Terry again last night. So yeah, if he can even, you know, come close to doing what he did last night, in the postseason and being a solid option and a scoring threat off the bench. Doesn't have to be every game, but, you know, for most of them, that's going to be huge. So we lost two of the last three. We had the win over Atlanta last Saturday. which was a blowout that turned into a kind of a close game. So it ended up being 129-120, but the Celtics did pull it out at the end. You got a interesting week coming up. We've probably already played our most difficult games this past week in Denver and Philly. We've got Charlotte Saturday afternoon, San Antonio on Sunday in the back-to-back, and then Tuesday night against Cleveland. These are games that they should win, obviously. I would imagine 2 out of 3 would be ideal, at least. Hopefully the Celtics can really get rolling, but we do know that they're going to start sitting Irving, or at least he's going to be taking some breaks here. I would expect him to miss one of the two games, probably the Sunday game against San Antonio. But, you know, maybe that gets Rozier some more time in there and hopefully get him rolling and have everybody on the same page going into the playoffs over these last couple of weeks. Guys, check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the next game under that heading. You can find the pod on Wooshka, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know in the comment of any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to bring you guys the coverage you want, the way you like it. And for myself and Justin, we'll catch you guys next week. Later.